Why the separation is happening? Why our generation is not believing in the marriage and believing in the living relationship, believing in the physical relationship, believing in the sex or homosexuality is because of brokenness they have seen in their own life. Hey, men and men cannot have a baby, cannot produce baby. Women and women cannot produce baby. If you see the book of Romans chapter number 1 verse, it says clearly, that's not the way God designed people. Hallelujah. God wanted to have a family. But nowadays, because of this wrong teaching, Satan's plans is nowadays working and they are destroying the family. Gen Z generation, now our generation is not believing in the marriages, they are believing in the living, in the relevant, living relationship. This is a major part for the ministers are paying. They are so much in busy meetings, back to back meetings, you know, preaching, traveling. They forget that their children need father. Hey, what's good everybody? Welcome to Adesh Narayan channel. I'm excited that you visit to this channel and I'm believing that in this channel you are going to learn something which is going to help you in your faith journey. As you know guys, these days I'm talking about the biblical management series. I'm speaking on the biblical management because I believe that this is the most important part of in a faith journey, which is going to help you to how to be a good steward in your family. Amen. So if you have not watched the first part of the series, go. There's a link button coming on the screen. You can just click and watch the first part of this biblical management series where I explain about what is management and how to manage time, because I believe that God has given you time to learn something on this earth. A waste of time is a waste of life. Now people will ask, why you are teaching about management? You're supposed to teach about salvation because Bible is about salvation. I agree. Bible is all about salvation. Bible is about Jesus Christ. Bible is about exalting the Christ. And I'm teaching this about salvation on my other channel, The Revelation Church, and on this channel as well. I'm teaching about the salvation for my entire life because I believe that salvation is the only key and the base and the foundation of Bible. Hallelujah. God wants us to encounter with salvation, that is Lord Jesus Christ. Encounter with the Savior, that is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But what I'm saying is, once you are saved, you know, we never go into the second step, that is called discipleship. That's why what Jesus say, go and preach the gospel, make disciple and teach them. We miss this part. Teach them. What to teach them? Teach them about the word of God. So God, Jesus Christ, has teach us so many things from his life when he was on this earth. So we have to teach all those things also to the people. And you know, that's what the I think personally believe that most of the believers, why they are very easy to fall into the trap of enemy is because lack of knowledge, lack of teaching. And that's why God inspired me to teach all these things to you, right? Because if you see the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus was on earth, he was a perfect example. He was 100% man, 100% God, as we know. He was a perfect example. He set an example how to be a good steward in the family. And that's what I'm teaching you. You know, management is not about, I'm talking about the management skills about. I'm talking about biblical management means you have to be a good steward. And this word stewardship comes from the manage. And the word manage means in your hand. That means what God has given you in your hand, you have to manage it. Salvation is the most important part. Preaching Jesus is the most important part. And I agree, and I'm preaching that every single day in my every sermon. I exalt the name of Jesus because that is the most important part. But Jesus also teach one thing, that go and teach and preach and also teach what I have teach you. So we have to not ignore this part of the story, that when Jesus was on this earth, he tried to portray a picture to us that we should learn from it, right? We should learn from it and then we should apply in this world. Because Jesus also said, in this world you will have tests and trials. It means you are going to face challenges. You and me are going to have our challenges in life. But take heart, for God, Jesus Christ, has conquered the world. And you know why most of us are living a failure mentality? Because we are not understanding the second part of the story, that is discipleship. And that is why, you know, discipleship means is teaching someone. Disciple a disciple, you know. You cannot disciple someone if you are not a good disciple. If you have learned nothing, how can you teach someone? And that's what I'm teaching you nowadays, you know. Because what I'm teaching you is not not just from the books, but I'm teaching you from experience. Because in my faith journey, I have never come across this teaching that somebody has teach us about the management, especially in our country, especially in our ministry in this country, right? Why? Because I think we lack and we ignore this part of the story. You know, it's very easy to preach a good sermon from the pulpit. Love God, have a good family, you know, be a good steward of finances. But your own family is the real face. Or let me say this, your own family is the testimony of yours. And you know, most of the believers are on this situation. They are good in speaking, but their own family is not experiencing what they are preaching. So I think somehow we are lying to others. You know, we are lying to others, we are lying to ourselves. How can you preach easily those things outward when your own family is broken and barren? And that's, I think, somehow it's not a right testimony. So even Bible says that two people come together and they testify for the same thing, that testimony will become true. That will consider as a right. But you're preaching so many things, but your own family is not experiencing, that means you're lying. Hallelujah. So I am going to teach you in this channel. I have learned from my life what my family and I have applied in my life, because you cannot preach easily if you cannot experience it. Hallelujah. Now we are in the second part of this series called Biblical Management. In first part, I have to teach about what is management, where this management comes from, about the time management, because I believe that waste of time is a waste of life. If you're wasting a time, then you're wasting your life. And God has given you time, a precious time, you know, as a gift to do something in this world, right? So go and watch that video. So today I'm teaching you about management of the family. Hallelujah. Are you ready? So let me start with this. Family is an institute. Now everybody say, what? Family is what? Come again. Family is an institute. So what is institute? Institute means is a place where children come and learn from 4 or 5 years. They study something on the specific niche and they go into the world and work and use their tools to get a job and to get a good positions and to, become something in their life. They learn all these things in the institute, right? Institute teach them when they go into the world, how they are going to, you know, manage all these things, how they are going to, you know, do all these things. So institute is a place where people learn something, and same as a family. Family is an institute where your children will learn something from you, where husband and wife learn something from each other. When the people see your family, they see something in you. And that's what I was teaching. You know, if you see in my sermon, the Revelation Church, I preach that in Colossians, it says that Christ is the center of everything. And everything is, you know, Christ is holding everything and Christ is the center of all things. And in Him, all things bind together. Your family should be Christ-centered family. And when people see you, your family, they see Christ in your family. They see this family is different. This family is different from others because this family is built on the right foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. So what I'm saying is your family is an institute. Your children will learn. People will learn. When you are walking in your office, when you are working, when you're in the family, let the family should learn something. You know, let the family should build on the right foundation because your family is an institute for others. If you see in a scripture, God wants us to have a family. God blessed family. If you see in a Genesis chapter number 1, verse 28, it says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. Be fruitful and multiply. In other words, have family. And now, most of us just see these words as, you know, God is saying, have an intimacy relationship. Go and have a pleasure. It's not just about pleasure and have intimacy. Basically, God is saying, go and have family. God loves family. That's why we always say that we are the family of Lord Jesus Christ. We are one family in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God loves family. So in these words, God is saying, He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. It means have family. Before sin comes, before anything comes, God says, have family. So understand the significance of the family. Family is also the part, important part in the eye of the Lord. God wants that your family should exalt the name of the Lord. Let your family should speak in the time of darkness. Let your family shine like a light. Let your family be an example. When people see you, they see Christ in your family. They see that's a godly family. This is a family who follow the Lord. Hallelujah. And let the broken family will fix because seeing their your family. Let your family be a testimony in this broken world. Hallelujah. God said, be fruitful and multiply, have family. Now, and when God say, go and have a family, be fruitful and multiply, you know what? Satan is always after the family. He doesn't want that people should have a good family. That's why if you see the statistics, today I was checking on internet, I was searching that some few points of the statistics about the family. 2017 to 2019, before the pandemic, 2019, 33.5% children's, you know, grow alone. You know why? Because parent separation or they are homeless. And when the pandemic comes, most of the children's lost their parents. Like I said, Satan doesn't want you to have a good family. He's always after your family so he can bring affliction in your family, so he can destroy the family, because family is the place where the people live and God loves family. It's never the plan of God to destroy your family. God always wants to have a family, not destroy the family. It's enemy plan to destroy your family. So let's be a good steward. So if you see what the scripture says, that God multiply, God say be fruitful and multiply. Okay? God say to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. But 33.5% of children grow homeless or alone because separation of their parents. And this separation caused them, angerness, frustration, and they lead that frustration and anger lead them to the wrong places. That's why our Gen Z generations are not believing on the marriage, they are believing in the living relationship. Our Gen Z generation is believing in homosexuality. Hey, men and men cannot have a baby, cannot produce baby. Women and women cannot produce baby. If you see the book of Romans chapter number 1 verse, it says clearly, that's not the way God designed people. Hallelujah. God wanted to have a family. But nowadays, because of this wrong teaching, Satan plans is nowadays working and they are destroying the family. Gen Z generation, now our generation is not believing in the marriages, they are believing in the living, in the living relationship. Now they are believing in a homosexuality. Is it right? Is this the plan of God? No, this is the biggest thing you are doing. This was not the plan of God. God planned to have a blessed family, be fruitful and multiply. And why this generation is going in the wrong direction? Because of lack of knowledge and wisdom. Why? Because we are not teaching them. We are not aware of giving them a teaching from the Word of God. They love to see the celebs. They love to see the artists and actors, and they want to be like that. In pictures and in movies, they show that you have a living relationship. You are looking cool when you have a, when you are as a man, you look cool, dude, when you have sex with random girls, and you girls look cool when you have sex with the random boys. Is it right? If you see the Netflix and all the OTT platform, vulgarity is now, is selling on the screens. You can easily just click one button and you will have everything open in your eyes. And what happened? Those things are not leading the new generation to the right and the godly marriage. Those things are leading the generation into the hell, into the wrong teachings. And that was the plan of enemy. He wants to destroy your family. So people, I'm teaching you something from this. God wants you to have a family. Family is not a curse. Family is blessing. Why the separation is happening? Why our generation is not believing in the marriage and believing in the living relationship, believing in the physical relationship, believing in the sex or homosexuality, is because of brokenness they have seen in their own life. Because when they were kids, they were growing, seeing the parents fighting in the family. It's very bad when your children are in the house and as a mother and father scolding and, abusing each other, saying the wrong thing to each other, having external marital affair. The child are growing, seeing all these things. And because they are seeing all these things, they adopt all these things. And once they learn all these things, they are going to do the same. And when they do the same things, then you will say, why you are doing this? You cannot say why you're doing this. You should ask why I did this. Hallelujah. Am I teaching to someone? Why you are doing this? Because you did this, that's why your children is doing. And that's why I always teach to the every person that your children will not learn from TV or from YouTube. That are the secondary things to reach them. The children first learning lessons is your family, is your own house. They will learn everything from their own house. When the parents in the house are fighting each other like a dog and cat, when the parents are scolding each other, using the wrong language to each other, and the children are watching them, learning those things. And once the hate come in their heart that, hey, my mom dad always fight each other, my mom dad doesn't love, they all have external marital affair. Hallelujah. So we should be very careful that what we are teaching in the family. Because Bible says, let me show you with the word of God, what the word of God says. If you see 1 Timothy 3, 4, 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 4 and 5. What it says, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. What it says, He must manage his own family. Who is he? It's we. Hallelujah. Well, the word of God is clearly teaching us that he must manage his own family well. That means as a believer, as a man of God, as a follower of Christ, our duty towards our family is to manage them well. What kind of morals and ethics you are setting in the family, your children will grow in that, right? The Bible says he must worthy or full of respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, Bible clearly says this. Anyone who does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of the God's church? If you can't manage your small family, how can you manage the church of God? How can you manage the family, the people of God, if you can't manage your own family? What it means? It means the Bible is clearly teaching us that manage your family. Hallelujah. Be a good steward in your family. You cannot manage the church if you can't manage your own family. Because family is an institute. It's like a small church. It's like a church, right? Where the Bible says, Jesus said that when two or three people gather in my name, it doesn't say that when two or three people gather in church. No. It says two or three people gathered in my name, there I am. Right? And where two or three people gathered in family. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus is saying family is a picture of a church. Where there is a good family, where there is a good a stewardship in a family, you will always can lead a good church. Because your family is going to be a testimony for the church and for the non-believers. Your family is going to be a picture, it's going to be a testimony for people who does not know God. Hallelujah. So my question comes to you is how you are managing your family. Are you managing your family? Because like I said, most people, most believers ignore this part. They just stick with one part, but they ignore this teaching because they think this is not relevant. But the point is, this is relevant teaching. This is more important teaching we have to teach every disciple, every leaders, every man of God should know to be a good steward in family. Because Bible is saying this. If you can't manage your good family, how can you manage the God's church? So I'm going to bring this down in some points, and let's start with the root, because I believe that when the roots are good, the fruits will always come good. Why the rotten fruits are coming again and again in the tree? Because there is not a problem in the fruit, there is a problem in the root. The root needs to be fixed, not the fruit. So let's work on the root. And what is a root? The root of the family. The good family can only be built on good marriage. What is a good foundation? Christ is the good foundation. Our marriage should be Christ-centered, not the worldly-centered. Most of the marriages start so much with the so love and so many things, but end up in divorce. You know why? Because marriage is not about, listen to this, I'm going to speak something, but the words which I'm going to speak maybe mess with your mind, because you will think, oh, this man of God is speaking this word, but I'm going to speak this. Marriage is not about sex, hugs and kiss, because most of the marriage have these things. If there is no Christ in your marriage is empty. Why I'm saying the Christ should be in the marriage is because if you see the Colossians chapter number 1 verse 17, what it says, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. Your marriage hold together. How? In him. Who is him? It's Christ. Your marriage can only become stronger and stronger. Your marriage will become stronger and stronger when you have Christ. The marriage should be Christ-centered marriage. Why their marriages are suffering is because the Christ is missing from the marriage. That's why, like I'm saying, Gen Z generation is not going to be more interested in marriage. They are more interested in living relationships. You know why? Because they have seen the marriages broken. They have seen the parents' external or marital affair. They have not seen Christ in the marriage. Children never seen their parent or mother are talking about the God, are growing in the Lord, praying together, reading together, teaching the word of God to the children. They have not seen all these things, and that's why their children are doing the same thing what their parents were doing. Wrong foundation. And see what the First Timothy says, if you read carefully what it says. It says clearly that he must manage his own family well. Well, not okay. Well, we should manage our family well. Everybody say well. Well means top-notch quality, not compromise quality. I will manage it. No. Top-notch quality. Be a classic good husband. Be a good wife. Be a good parents. Be a good children. You will have to manage your family well, not just okay. Hallelujah. And second verse says, and see that his children obey him. How are your children going to obey you when you are not obeying as a children of God? How your children will obey you when they are seeing that you are not obedient to your parents? How your children are going to obey you when they are seeing you are not a disciplined person? How your children are going to follow you and learn from you when they are seeing your marriage is going to, you know, end? How your marriage is going, how you become a good husband and wife when your own children are seeing you fighting every day and night? What kind of things you're setting in the family? Your children are watching you. How you can be a good husband and wife when you are gossiping about others? What kind of teaching you are teaching to your children? They are going to learn the same thing what you are doing. Hallelujah. And that's not the godly family. Don't be a gossiping family. Be a godly family. Hallelujah. Am I talking to someone? Amen. What Bible says, and godly marriage begins with a godly family begins with the godly marriage. If your marriage is not a Christ-centered, you are going to see the consequences. Not today, maybe tomorrow, but you will see it. Why? Because Christ, Bible says, in him, all things hold together. In him. And that's what the Bible said in Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wife, respect your husband. If these things are missing in the family, how can a family be a godly family? How can your family be a testimony if husband is not loving the wife and husband is loving somebody else's wife? Don't do that. If wives are not respecting their husband and wife are respecting others, man, don't do that. You're not obeying what God is saying to you. You're not following the pattern, following the structure for the family what God has designed. Love your wife, Bible says. Husband, love your wife. Your wife, respect your husband. Do not compare your husband with everyone. Do not compare your wife with everyone. What God has given you, you are blessed with that. Enjoy in that. Respect and honor marriage. Respect each other. Speak with right words to each other. You know, me and Nehar, when we got married, the first thing, you know, when you are discussing after marriage, the first thing we discussed, you know what? Our marriage should be a testimony for the broken marriages. Hallelujah. Let our marriage be a testimony for the broken marriages. Let people, the broken families, the broken marriages, when they see us, they do not see the good couple, but they see Christ. Our marriage should exalt Christ because it has to build on Christ. Christ is the center of our marriage. Hallelujah. How can you build a family without God? We cannot survive without God. We cannot live without God. We cannot do anything without God. Hallelujah. So godly family begins with a godly marriage. Check if your marriage is Christ-centered. If not, today is the time. You can sit and meditate on the Word of God. And today you can sit with your partner, pray and ask, Lord, let my marriage be a Christ-centered. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, let my marriage exalt you. Let my children grow in you. Let them see you in our life, Lord. When you do this, your children will grow in the right path. Hallelujah. Because you are the teacher of your children. They are obeying you. They are seeing you. And it's your duty to tell them about Christ. Not by just word, but by your actions. If you're not teaching your child about, you know, I have seen in my faith journey, most of the minister, what they try to do is they try to, you know, teach the children by the words. No, do this, do this, do this. Hey, he will not do this until he will see you are doing this. We are teaching our children, pray, pray, pray. But you are not a prayer person. We are teaching our children, love, love, love. But he's not seeing any love in you. You are teaching respect and honor. But he's not seeing respect and honor any of these things in your life. How can you teach something if you do not have? So first, we should have all these things. We should practice all these things. So our words, you know, action speaks louder than the words, I always say. Your children will not learn just by the word. They will learn by their actions, by your actions. What you are doing in the house, how you're managing the house, what kind of ethics and morals you have in your house, what kind of rules you have in your house, what kind of things you are practicing in the house, your children will grab that first. Not just by the words, by the actions. Hallelujah. So husband and wife, come together, pray, give your marriage into the hand of the Lord. Let your marriage be Christ-centered. Let your children grow in the Lord. Amen. First point. Now, second, when the good marriage is there, How the family build now? Now, for the godly family, godly marriage is required. Okay, fine, godly marriage there. Now, for the godly marriage, once the godly marriage is formed, how can I build the house? Let's see. Proverbs 24:3-4. What it says? How to make a perfect, successful family? Let's see. Proverbs 24:3-4. What it says? It says, by wisdom, a house is built. Underline this, wisdom. By wisdom, house is built. And by understanding, it is established. Understanding. First is wisdom, and understanding is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all the precious and pleasant riches. By knowledge. So, three keys. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So, I'm going to go from down to up. Then from down to up, it is knowledge, understanding, and the key is wisdom. Knowledge is information. You know, you have information about, you have a knowledge of about all these things, right? Understanding is comprehensive. Comprehensive means, it's a term of understanding. Wisdom. Wisdom is the key. Wisdom is the key of all these things. So wisdom is an application. So I'm going to go again. Knowledge, you can see in our screen, knowledge is information. Understanding is comprehensive. Wisdom is application. You cannot apply what you don't understand. Are you getting it? Wisdom is application. Means application which is help you to use all understanding and knowledge. But you cannot use or you cannot apply what you don't understand. Because you're not understanding, that's why you're not able to apply. And that's what the Bible says. If you read in Hosea chapter number 4 verse 6, what it says, you know, most of the thing that, you know, I'm not understanding because you're not attentive or listening what I'm teaching you. When the pastor preach, you are not listening. Right now I'm teaching you something very important, but you are not listening. Your mind is distracted to a different way. And distraction, you know, after some time I'm going to teach you about the devil's schemes. The devil, one of the devil's greatest scheme is distraction. He distracts you. He doesn't want you to listen the right thing. He doesn't want you to be a disciple of Jesus. He doesn't want you to learn something from the word of God, because he wants to distract you. Right? He wants to distract you. He doesn't want a family should learn all these things. So what I'm teaching you is that wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So you cannot apply what you don't understand. When you don't understand anything, how can you apply? If you read the Hosea 4:6, what it says, my people are destroyed not because of enemy, because lack of knowledge. What it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected the knowledge. Hallelujah. Word of God is saying this. My people die not because the enemy is touching them, the enemy is destroying them. No. Because lack of knowledge. What you don't understand, how can you apply? You don't understand how to be a good steward in family. How can your family be a living example of God? How can your family be a testimony when you don't understand how to manage my family? Most of you ask, okay, so Pastor, you are saying to gain knowledge means I should go and read and listen to some influences, all these things to get a knowledge. So don't be mistaken, my friend. God is not saying to gain knowledge, you have to read magazines, you have to watch some influencers or videos and all this. No. God is not saying to do this. How can you gain knowledge, understanding? How can you build a house? By reading the word of God. You know, only by reading the word of God, listen to the word of God. Amen. Christ center. Remember, Colossians, Christ center. That means the more you read the word, the more you pray, the more you ask Holy Spirit, the more you ask Lord for guidance and wisdom, he will guide you. He will teach you. He will make you teach you to the right path. He will encounter you with the people who are preaching the right gospel, who are preaching the right teaching. You will become in touch with them and you will learn something. Hallelujah. But remember, learn everything from the word of God, not out from the word of God. Whatever I'm teaching you is written in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So in my personal faith journey, I have seen some few points. I'm going to just close it with this. Why the believers are facing their families are broken, you know, like ministers, preachers, they are preaching good, but their families are broken. Why their ministries are not growing? Why their believer, their faiths are faith? They have faith, but their families are destroyed. Why their children are not going in the Lord? They are doing ministry, but their children are distracted and you know, not in the ministry. Why these things are there? Because I think there are some points where I write it down, because I have seen with my own eyes to the minister and the pastors, leaders, churches, they are facing these issues, and I come across that these are the points why they are facing this issue. I want you to write it down. Why the families are facing issues or maybe having some issues. Number one point, one-sided decision making, right? It means not consulting with everyone. You know, one-sided decision making is as if like, I can do all things. I don't need your guidance. When you make decisions, you don't ask anyone. People, especially in the believers, in the minister's life, because you are doing ministry doesn't mean that you don't need anyone. Because you are a preacher or you are a pastor or lead pastor of the church, it doesn't mean that you don't need anyone's help. You know, Bible says in Proverbs that foolish go alone, but wisdom people have a wise counseling, right? So you need a people in your life, your first person to reach your life partner. You should consult with your life partner. You should bring a point that we are planning this. Should we do this? Should we not? So once it should not be one side decision making. It should always be both side decision making. We should come together and ask, because, you know, God has given us a helper. What is our helper? Wife is our helper. She's not our servant. She's not our lady who's working in the house. No, she's our helper. She's the one who's going to help us. She's the one who's going to tell us, and she's also can put her thought in this, and something good can come out, right? So one side decision should not be there in the family. It should be both side, right? Number one point. Number two, unbalanced life. Now, unbalanced life means, now this is the major issue I'm seeing in every believer, in every minister's life, every believer's life, that we always say that I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach to thousand. Yeah, you are doing that. They're focusing on the ministry. I have to do this. They forget that they have the family to feed. They have a children to take care. They are just focusing on the ministry expansion, but they forget about them. The children are growing. They need their dad. Every time when you go out and preach the gospel, remember, when you come home, you have your family. Their children, they're expecting my dad should come and play with me. So ministry is one thing, but you have to understand that your family is there for you. This is a major part where the ministers are failing. They are so much in busy meetings, back-to-back meetings, you know, preachings, traveling. They forget that their children need father. The children need mother. The children need dad, mom. The children need you. You have to feed your family. You have to take care of your family. No. Pastor, Bible says, he will take care of my family. God never wants you to be an irresponsible person. I want to shut down all the mouth who says that God wants me to do ministry and he will going to take care of my needs and he is going to take care of my family. Hey, he will take care of your family. But it doesn't mean that you will become an irresponsible man towards your family, because if you can't manage your family, you can't manage your church. If you can't manage your family, you can't manage the church. That's what the Bible says. God clearly says he should manage his family. Hallelujah. So our responsibility is our family also. No, I have to go fasting prayer, whole night prayer, this prayer. You don't have time for your own family. And your children are seeing, my father is not giving me time. He's giving time to only one place. So that's why they try to search love or care in some other places. And that's why ministers' families are broken. So today, don't do that. If you're doing this, stop doing that. Balance life. Live a balanced life, not unbalanced life. Live a balanced life. Give time to the ministry and give time to your family. Be a good steward in the family. So people, those children will obey you, children will see you, and they will do the same thing. Hallelujah. Third point, double standard life. Now, this is a major point. I don't have to explain so much, because so much thing is out there in this. Because double standard life is, let me tell this, mask wearing ministry. Or let's just say mask wearing character. We are wearing a mask of double standard life. What we are preaching, we are not. What we are teaching, we are not in the house. Like I said, what you are preaching from the pulpit, your children is not seeing the same thing in you. How can you preach that? How can you preach that? Today, most of the believers are very good in preaching and speaking about God, speaking from the word of God, but their own families are broken and battered. Why? Because family knows, whatever my father is preaching, I can't see those things in my own father. I can't see those things in my family. My father is a liar. My family is a liar. My mom is a liar. My dad is a liar. What kind of testimony we are giving in our family? Because like I said, your family is the face of your ministry. Whatever the ministry you are doing, your family is the face of it. Hallelujah. Don't live a double standard life. what you are preaching, experience, practice, apply in your family. Like I said, you can't apply what you don't understand. So first apply in the family, practice those things, then preach about it. Amen. I'm also learning that. Everybody's learning that, right? So I hope this, I can speak all day. Like I said, I'm working on my book about the biblical management. Soon it will come and publish. And in that, I'm going to briefly explain all these things. But till then, I think and I believe that this video has blessed you. If this video has blessed you, consider to subscribe, share and like. And I believe that you are blessed with this teaching. So be a good steward of family. And I believe in the name of Jesus, because of finished work of Jesus on the cross, you and your family is blessed. Your marriage is blessed. Your children are blessed. And may you grow in the Lord every single day. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for watching Adesh Narayan. Take care. Bye-bye.